Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being brutally honest, biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. In the studio today, the guy who has it all together. And I have him here once a week if we're lucky, so he can let us know how it ought to be done. The man in brown.
Yeah, just ignore everything that he said except for the fact that I wear brown.
And his name is Eric.
And my name is Eric.
Good to have you here, bro.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, no, you're a sinner like the rest of us.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, we're so undeserving of the things that have happened. But it's good to have you here because then I'm not alone and stumbling along, right?
Oh, amen. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Yes, there we go. That's what we kind of work with and stand by. And, you know, God has given us this opportunity to be able to have this venue to be able to reach men out there on the internet. And just so that you would encourage other men, people that you know, other men, let them know about this radio show. And point them in the direction. Let them know that they can go to different podcasts to be able to hear different topics, et cetera, et cetera. I forget often to remind those who are listening, say, hey, why don't you pass this on to some other guys? It might be helpful. And
we're glad that you're here instead of being somewhere else because, you know, us guys, we get on the internet and we have a propensity to go places that we should not be going. So this is your alternate location.
Yes.
On the internet.
Yes, yes. And so I'm glad you guys are here. So we like to always do is kind of kick in to start it off with a little bit of encouragement because not that you're not going to receive any throughout the show. I'd like to think you would, but we like to go directly right toward you on this one here. Anything come to mind?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything worthy of saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was, you know, of course, in my job, I'm just, you know, driving around in the truck, and I have a lot of time to think. Not a very mentally taxing job being a UPS driver. It's physically taxing, not so much mentally. So I have the opportunity to think about things. And I was the other day I'm driving around, I'm thinking about the fact that, you know, I used to have things in my possession that if I were to die, I didn't want people to find.
Ah.
Okay.
Like money?
No.
No.
they can have my money. I'm done with that. what I'm worried about was the things that would impugn my character.
Ah, yes.
And so my encouragement to the guys today is, do we have anything like that in our possession? Do we have anything, whether it be, you know, something hidden somewhere or some files on the computer or anything to this, where when people are going through our things after we die, because that's what happens. They go through your things after you're gone, and they, you know, they give away or they, you know, they deal with all these things because it all has to be dealt with.
Right.
You know, are they going to find something that that you wouldn't want them to find?
Yeah. That's going to put a question in their mind about your character and who you are.
Exactly.
And what have you been doing in secret?
Right. And so the thing that I want to encourage the guys to do is not necessarily to become better at hiding the things.
Because it'll be found.
Because it'll be found. But to become the man that everybody thinks that you are.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know, if we're hiding these things, there's obviously something going on where we don't want people to know what's really happening inside of me, right? So how do we do that? You know, how does that take place? Well, like I said, it's not just about getting rid of the things. Those things, that does need to happen. You do need to get rid of those things that you're hiding. But it's about surrendering everything to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's about surrendering all those things, being willing to give them all up, and to daily submit yourselves to His lordship and His authority. Because, you know, when we're in this battle, we can't win this battle on our own strength. We need the help of our Lord. We need the help of other men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so at this point, you know, I would say that it's vitally important that you be in a fellowship with other men who are like-minded and are willing to help you in this battle that we have here on this earth. We are in a spiritual warfare. And so that's my encouragement to the guys, is to take an inventory of their things and their life. And if there's something that God is pointing out to you right now, you got to take care of that.
Yes, yes. And be done with it. And know in yourself, and from what you receive from other men, like from us, that you're a new creation in Christ. You know, you're no longer that other person. And mm-hmm. part of that is actually being rid of the old self, the things that of what used to be part of who you were, but no longer. But you've kept aside just in case or for whatever reason. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes we just want to hold, like you said, we want to hold on to that little bit of something yeah. just in case I need some comfort.
You know, it's funny how we are as human beings. I remember when I got to a place where I finally got rid of all my high school awards and trophies, mostly trophies, you know, stuff, you know, plaques, things that, you know, of things I used to, I finally got rid of them. I've been carrying these things around in boxes. I mean, they weren't out. They were in boxes. And I remember this one time I just said, you know what? I've got to be done with this. I am not, you know, and I tried to justify, oh, look how beautiful this is. You know, like, what am I going to do with this? I mean, this is what I did when I was, you know, a teenager, you know. I wasn't even, anyway. So my point being is I finally got rid of all those trophies and everything. It made moving, whenever I did, a lot nicer, less clutter, less things I have to carry around. And a lot of it I kept because I wanted to be able to show my grandkids and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, something inside me said, well, I can always just show them a yearbook, right? Because the same trophies is a picture in the yearbook also, or the whatever it is, to be able to show that off if I so needed to do that. But the fact is I kept it because I wanted to be reminded. But I was never reminded because it was in a closet somewhere or in a garage in a corner with all these other boxes that I didn't know what was in them, right? So lighten things up, brother.
Yeah, well done. I never had trophies as a child.
Okay, well, I wasn't trying to just boast necessarily. I was just giving an example.
I'm kind of feeling bad about myself.
It could be
now.
Your butterfly collection that you had that meant something to you at one time. But really, truly, what it comes down to are these things that if we were to pass, if we were to die and go home to Jesus, and then our wife or our loved ones, our parents, or maybe our children, okay, end up going through our things, because they're going to go through them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know whether they should give something to the Salvation Army or not, but then all of a sudden they come across things that were maybe of our sin in the past. Why do we carry that stuff around? Why do we want to, you know, embellish the way that they looked at us how they saw us today? And yet, why is he carrying this stuff? You know?
Yeah. And we don't have a guarantee that we're even going to make it home tonight.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have that guarantee.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe this weekend is a good time to start cleaning house, so to speak. You might have to make
maybe that. Maybe even before the weekend.
Yeah, depending on when you're listening to this thing, you know. Maybe today is the day that you just begin. Anyway, you got nothing else going right now, right? Go right after the show. You go from there. All right. Well, I tell you what, there's your encouragement. We want to let's segue right into this title that of what to do with an unbelieving wife. Okay. Now, we know that the Bible talks about equally yoked, right, in mm-hmm. marriage, right?
Right.
That don't marry someone or don't attempt to date, which dating, by the way, is kind of leading into...
It's courting. Let's
courting
be honest.
For marriage,
yeah.
Okay, that you're thinking... And in some cases, there are guys that say, hey, I just date because I'm looking for a little action, so to speak. Not looking to marry anybody, just a little action. And whatever that is to you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But here's the deal, okay? Sometimes there are two unbelievers who marry, okay? And then mm-hmm. one becomes a believer. In this case, we'll just say it's the guy, right? And the wife is not a believer. She's not on board with this sort of thing. What do you do? Now it becomes, in some cases, sometimes pretty uncomfortable, right?
Yeah, yeah. It does become uncomfortable because what you have now is you have basically two authorities in the house, right? Because the both of you were under one authority, which is the authority of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And you lived according to the precepts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that was your authority. Now the husband has become a Christian and he says, I am no longer under the authority of the world. I am under the authority of Jesus Christ. And so we have two authorities in the house because the wife is still under the old authority and the husband is under the new authority. And these authorities don't say the same thing.
Right.
They have different ways of living. They have different ways to view the world that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now we're coming up against friction, mm. right? Because there's two lords in the house. So, you know, this is an issue. It was an issue in the early church. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians about this very issue. It's recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Christians there weren't sure what to do because people were coming to Christ in groves in the early church. It was happening really quickly. Peter gave his sermon and thousands came to Christ in one day. And you can guarantee that there were a lot of people coming to Christ where their spouse was not on board. And so the Christians were wondering what to do in this situation. Because there's a verse in Ezra that says, you know, to separate yourself from the unbelieving spouse.
Right.
You know, in that context, that's what God had told them to do.
Right.
And so the Christians were wondering if that's what they were supposed to do then. Am I supposed to, since now I'm a Christian, am I supposed to, say, hit the road to my wife? You know, and so Paul had to deal with this issue.
Right.
And so
you're in 1 Corinthians, right?
1 Corinthians chapter 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me see. Why don't I just read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting at verse 10. To the married I give this charge, not I, but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband. But if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and the husband should not divorce his wife. To the rest I say, I, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. If any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy.
Mm-hmm.
But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the issue in the Corinthian church.
Right.
Because they thought that they should, you know, divorce their unbelieving spouse.
Right.
And so they were wondering what to do.
Well, in some cases here, it's like he had mentioned here, if the unbeliever doesn't want to stay married to the believer, it's okay for them to separate.
Yep, that's what it says.
And you allow that to take place. That would just be challenging to do. I personally have not had that experience. There was a time when in my marriage, in a marriage that I was in where we were both unbelievers in a sense. Okay. I was raised a Catholic, but I wasn't a practicing in anything at that time. And it didn't matter. You know, I was the Lord of my life was the world, and you know how that goes, right? So mm-hmm. that means anything goes, so to speak. And so it was very challenging to, in a sense, I mean, was not challenging at all when all of a sudden that thing had gone sideways, okay? I just had to live with my own guilt of why am I doing this and why is this taking place type of thing. But in following what Jesus wants us to do, you know, it's pretty clear in a sense. You know, if things are, you know, we're to try to win our spouse over, I think, just like any brother or sister, of letting them see mm-hmm. Jesus being reflected in our actions and in our speech and everything that we do, you know, that they would see that and it would be attractive to them, okay? Not expecting that they would drop everything and say, yes, I need to be just like you, because that's the likelihood that's not going to happen, right?
Right. And, you know, it's kind of interesting what the Bible says in this regard, because what it says to the wives in this mm-hmm. situation in 1 Peter is to win them over by your conduct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas if I were in that situation, I would probably try and win them over by words and plausible arguments and logical reasoning, and, you know, and this this is the way that I would go about it.
And what happens after that 3-minute discussion?
But you see, that's not what Scripture says
right.
to do.
Right.
Although, you know, it also says in one of Peter's letters, I forget which one, but it says to always be ready with an answer for the hope that lies
right.
within you.
Yes.
So there will come a time when, you know, the wife may come up to you and say, help me to understand this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I see this and I hear this, but then you say something different. Can you help me to understand why you say what you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so then, you know, that's the opportunity, you know, to actually to speak the truth of God into her life and mm-hmm. to be ready with the answer that she mm-hmm. that she wants to know.
Right.
But as it is, you know, the browbeating with intellectual arguments, that's not the way to win your spouse over.
Right. So often it, well, you know what, let's do this. Let's take a break and then let's come back from the break and let's continue going down this path of, you know, what we would like to be able to do just so that we can be done with it so that she can get on the same page, because I want to be married to her. But what if she's not on the same page or doesn't even want to hear about it type of thing? Well, maybe we need to take a little inventory of where we're at and where we've been with this sort of thing. Maybe there's something like amends that needs to be made before we go any further. Hmm. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Sometimes you want something permanent to remember a special event, such as a groundbreaking for a new business or community park, or a monument to remember the life of a loved one. Whether it's a bench marker, bronze memorial, or a traditional stone monument, you'll find markers at the most affordable prices through Cascade Monuments. They even have special flag case memorials and keepsake urns. Shop at your convenience online by going to cascademonuments.net. Cascade Monuments, for an affordable, fitting tribute to the special places, events, and people in your life.
Faithplace.org, Biblical Advice Talk Radio.
When I started listening to you, I started finding that guidance of how to get closer with God and how to rely on Him.
It keeps my feet grounded.
I listen to the podcast while I work.
It's a refreshing feel for me because there's a lot of times I get tunnel vision. You know, I think it's only happening to me or this is the way that it has to be, and there, all of a sudden there's another perspective.
It's convenient. I can listen whenever I want, and I can stop, and I can rewind, and I can listen to old shows and listen to new shows. There's no one that I know that would tell me the things that you guys say in your podcast, the things that I needed to hear.
If you've been helped through our internet talk show ministry, Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show, please make it possible for us to continue reaching out with the hope of Christ. Make a tax-deductible donation by clicking on the purple Donate button at faithplace.org.
The shame that grips you now is crippling. It breaks my heart to see you suffering. 'Cause I am for you. I'm not against you. If you want to know how far my love can go, just how deep. Look at my hands, look at my side. If you could count the times that say you are forgiven, it's more than the drops in the ocean.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio and Eric and Raul. And we're talking, of course, on situations where, as a husband, you... became a believer and maybe your wife did not come on board with it or the rest of your family at that time. And you're on and now you have these challenges that, you know, what do I do? You know, my wife, now we've got discussions talking about that. And she goes, you know, maybe you're going to more than just a weekend service. You're doing maybe a midweek service or maybe a Bible study. And she's going, why do you have to do all this stuff? And now we're, you know, we never see you. And or whatever. We didn't see you before, but now we really don't see you, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, I think a big part of what ends up taking place is that when this situation comes up like this, I believe that there are reasons for when we are seeking God, okay? That mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you know, maybe somebody had said something, and yes, God actually allows certain things to take place to get our attention, so to speak.
Right. And that means that there were things that were, there were challenges before you came to Christ as well
yes.
as the challenges that are, you know, after.
And the likelihood is that they, those challenges took place in, also in your home life, in your relationship with your wife, and maybe even your children if you have children. But in either case, they were affected by what was taking place before. Now all of a sudden you find, as it would be, you'd hear it. Now you found Jesus. Now everything's okay. But it's not okay. I mean, this would be the wife that would be speaking, the unbelieving wife. So why now all of a sudden I'm supposed to jump on board with you, you know? And, you know, and then so carries the conversation and stuff. So really what it comes down to at this point is where we have to actually take, yes, you may have accepted Jesus. Maybe you went to a service or a rally and the Holy Spirit moved you in such a manner that you said, you know what, I'm broken. I've sinned not only against other people, but most against God. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling convicted on that or in not knowing what conviction is. You'd probably say, I feel guilty about that. So you end up, you know, saying, maybe you're right. I need to just submit. I need a change. My life needs to change. Maybe something like that had fallen upon us in the service, and now we come home to tell our wives that, hey, things are different now in me, you know? And whatever the exuberance or the zeal or the excitement, whatever that is now kind of like, oh, yeah, hey, wait, back off. You know, when you left here earlier, you were not, you know, like this, and now you're telling me you are like this. Now you, you know.
Yeah, my inclination would be in that situation would be that I would come home and I would be prideful and boastful over what has just occurred in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I'm now a Christian would actually become a point of pride because I hadn't really learned much about humility
right
yet. So that also can create tension because, you know, oh, hey, you know, I've found Jesus. You need Jesus, you know, and that can also create.
And why do you think I need Jesus?
Right, exactly. That can also create issues because, you know, it's like all of a sudden I'm thinking that I'm better
right.
than somebody.
Right.
So what really needs to take place is that the husband at this point needs to become incredibly humble, knowing that it, you know, that it's Jesus who's done all the work in his life.
Right.
And not only that, but, you know, there were challenges before, there are challenges after, but there are probably things that need to be amended,
yes.
that need to be reconciled.
Yeah.
You know, so to take that inventory of the things that you have been, you know, doing, participating in the ways that you may have, you know, caused your wife pain in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what I have to do is I have to humble myself
mm-hmm.
and I have to go and I have to ask for forgiveness.
Yes, yes. Well, here's one of the things that I think is so important for us to remember. You know, there's a perfect timing for everything. For everything. We may know exactly what the right thing is to do, but more importantly is doing it at the right time. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I tell you what, you come home as an example from church service where your life has just changed completely. You feel like a totally different person, but now you're looking at your wife differently and your kids and everything. But she's been home with the kids. Maybe the kids need a change of diapers or there's something that's taking place that is chaotic in the household. And you come walking in and you start hugging them and starting to want, you know, this and that. And she's going, what are you doing? You know? Because you're not like that. You've never been like that before. There's a change in you. But right mm-hmm. at that moment in time is not the time you said, I just found Jesus and this is what's, you know, I just want to share this with you because I think this is the best thing. And the baby's diaper stinks and needs to be changed. It's crying. And the dog is just spilled, knocked over, whatever, you know.
I'm glad you found Jesus. Could you find this diaper full of crap and take care of it?
Yeah, exactly. But the fact is that it's got to be the perfect time. And when is that perfect time? Well, we may not know. We may think it needs to be right now. And that's not necessarily true. And that's where, whether you're a new believer or one that's seasoned, we need to go to the Lord and ask Him, okay? You know, you go and ask, and He will let you know, okay? He will let you know. You'll be prompted. You'll know when the right time is and what it is that you need to say. But, you know, the fact is that it's not going to be received necessarily the way that you think it is. You may expect her to be yelling and screaming at you as a result of that. And then she might just stop and look at you and teary-eyed and say, I am so glad it finally happened type of thing, you know, or just, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the way that you expect it. But here's the deal. We need to still apply some of the Christian beliefs or what the Bible says on how we're to be able to act and treat people who aren't on the same page. That's your wife who you have children with or maybe you've been
right.
married to and so on and so forth. We need to treat them a certain way and not put expectations on them that they need to be, this is what I'm doing, this is what we're all going to start doing right now. You know, no, that's not the way you're supposed to come across. In the book of Colossians.
Right, right. Well, if the Holy Spirit's not going to work on her heart, I'm going to take care of it, right?
I think the Holy Spirit told me I need to do this right now. In Colossians chapter 3, it goes on and it talks about, for husbands, to love your wives and do not be harsh with them, okay? It doesn't say, husbands, love your Christian wives.
Mm-hmm.
It says, love your wife and do not be harsh with them. It says, children, obey your parents and everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, very next one says, Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. So, you know what that embitterment means. You know, just keep poking at them, saying, hey, this is what you're going to do, and if you don't do it, you're not going to get any ice cream until you're 22 years of age. You know, whatever, you know. But anyway, you don't do that because you're going to discourage them, okay? So we have to be very careful about that sort of thing. And then, of course, this is what I love about down the road, in that very next chapter in 4, what were you going to say?
You keep going.
Okay. It says in chapter 4 and verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open the door for our message. My point is that we stay in prayer, in seeking God.
Yeah.
But you have your finger on something.
I don't want to lose my spot here in the Bible.
I know. You got that look. I could tell.
No. Okay. We're talking about, you know, what the Bible says and how to deal with the,
yes,
with the people in our lives. And, you know, and there's a lot of things that can be applied, you know, to the unbelieving wife.
Sure.
So in Romans chapter 12 at verse 19, it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our responsibility as the husband, is to live in peace with our wife so much as it depends on us.
Right.
You see, I can't force her to be at peace with me. You know, I can only do what I can do. I can only clean my side of the street.
I can't clean
her side of the street. I can't make her clean her side of the street. What I have to do is I have to deal with my side of the street and allow the Holy Spirit working in me to, you know, to do that. So, you know, and part of that is then to live at peace with everyone. That includes my unbelieving wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's now incumbent upon me to live, so far as it depends on me, to live in a peaceful relationship with her.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I think is so important that we forget sometimes, that we think that we know from our own experience, but, you know, we need to go to God for the wisdom on how to handle this situation. He says, if you come to me, in the book of James, he talks about that, if you come to me and you ask, you know, I will give, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you come with selfish motives and underlying reasons for doing things, you know, it's not going to work, okay? We've got to remember who our boss is today. It's
yeah.
the Lord, the creator of all things, including you and me and everybody else and everything else, okay? And as a result of that, we're not going to be able to pull one over him. So, it's, you know, that's what we've all... At least, maybe I'm the only one around that's ever done that, right?
Probably not.
Yeah. God's not going to see this. He's not. Yeah, get that stuff out of that box and get it out of the house. You know.
Yeah.
Nobody sees it. Yeah. God doesn't even know it's there.
Yeah, and you know, and we can actually, you know, pray with wrong motives. We think that we have it all put together, and we know that we have some false motives going on in our prayers, but hey, maybe God won't see that, and
he'll
just answer it anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, we're also told in 1 Peter, it says, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Okay, this is all of our wives, not just our Christian wives, okay? Doesn't mean that you can be misunderstanding if she's not a Christian. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so what does that mean, that to show honor as the weaker vessel? Well,
hang on to that. That's
okay.
A good question to go to a break with. Let them contemplate that. I know what your answer is going to be. I hope Stephanie's listening, because she's going to be able to let us know if this is true or not. That's his wife, by the way.
Yes.
not one of them. His wife. We're going to take a quick break.
One of my wives.
Your wives. We'll be right back. You're
just one wife.
Too.
One wife, Stephanie. One wife.
And the Brothers Radio.
Need more in-depth biblical counsel on a specific subject? Check out our latest of recommended books on the Band of Brothers page at faithplace.org.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors.
If you've been helped by Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, or The Carolyn Merriman Show, there's a super easy way, totally painless way, for you to help our talk show ministry continue. All you have to do is link your Fred Meyer or Kroger or Amazon account to our nonprofit ministry, which is called Great Awakening Productions. To find out how to do that, just click on the purple donate button on our podcast websites. Scroll down and find out how to link your Amazon account, your Kroger account, or your Fred Meyer account to Great Awakening Productions. Then every time you shop, those retailers will donate a small percentage to our ministry. It's that easy. Thank you for partnering with us.
There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. And Eric, what was the question?
It was about the whole weaker vessel thing in 1 Peter chapter 3.
Yes.
So you're going to... make me give the Eric commentary on 1 Peter.
Yes, on the weaker vessel.
Yeah, and this is a place where a man has to be really careful in what he says.
Well, it can be taken a couple different ways.
It can be, yeah.
Yes.
One of the things that some people would say is that, you know, the woman is emotionally weaker. I wouldn't say that because, you know, the fact that a woman is often more apt to, you know, to come to tears and to wear her emotions on her sleeve and to show her what's happening within. You know, we can look at that, and as men, we can call that weakness. I wouldn't call that weakness. I would call that as actually, you know, a strength. Because as men, what we do is we bottle it up because we're afraid of what people think of us when we show our emotions.
And we don't know how to show them.
Yeah, that's true. We've never been taught.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because in our
that's why sarcasm, humor, and all of these things that come up at times when it's you think, wow, this guy would be moved a certain way, but he comes up and says something sarcastic instead because he doesn't know how to say it, doesn't know how to deal with it, doesn't know how to show it, you know, much less feel it. But you kind of feel, you know, kind of stuck. Or just all of a sudden looks at his watch, say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I got to be someplace 10 minutes ago. See you, bye."
Yeah, but as the weaker vessel, and here's the way I see this, it's a reference to her being physically weaker than a man.
Yeah,
I am stronger than Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
By my strength, I could lord over her and make her do things, make her do this, make her behave in a certain way.
Right.
But that would not be honoring to her.
Right.
That would be authoritative. It would be dishonoring. It would actually place her in a position of being fearful of me, and that's a situation where love cannot abound. So as the man who generally men are stronger. There are times when the wife might be stronger than the man, but as a general rule, the man is stronger than the wife, and as such, he is in a position where he can lord over his wife because of his strength. But Jesus calls us to be meek. And meek is having the power, but choosing not to use it.
Well, it's being humble.
It's being humble. Yeah, it's being humble enough to, you know, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, having a physical strength is the opportunity to be meek in this relationship.
And it's a good thing to be meek, because if you are meek, you're going to inherit the earth.
Yes.
That's what it says in Matthew chapter 5, or the Beatitudes.
Yeah.
Is that 6 or 5? Anyway, but the meek will inherit the earth. That's what he wants. He wants us to be meek, to be humble, loving, kind. These things that Jesus wants us to be, we think that it is weak, and it's not part of a man being meek, so to speak, right?
Right.
And what is important is that we realize if we watched and we come to our knowledge of Jesus Christ and how he lived in the 3 years that he was on this earth in his ministry there, okay, man, he was anything but unmanly. He was everything about what a man ought to be, okay?
Yeah.
And yet he was still meek.
He was at once he was loving and kind, and at the same time he was full of anger over injustices done. I mean, twice he went into the temple and right. And turned over the money changer tables, and,
yeah.
And he said, "You've taken my father's house and made it, you know, a den of thieves." And
yes.
You know, that's, we often think of, you know, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus with the long, flowing hair and the big, bright smile with, you know, shining white teeth. Hey, I'm talking about, you know, this Americanized Jesus. You know, we have an image in our
yes,
mind that's
yes,
just not
yes.
accurate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was a man like any other. There wasn't anything about him that made us look at him and say, "Wow, look at that guy."
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, he was just a regular guy, and he was loving, and he was also wrathful.
Yes, but he spoke with authority. Okay, well, part of what needs to take place is that, back to this with our wives who are unbelievers and as such, is that we are to carry ourselves in that relationship with them. Not so much with the zeal and the exuberance that you have of being a new creation in Christ, that you want her to do the same thing, but seeking God to be able to let you know when and where and how you're to share him to them, okay? They need mm-hmm. to get used to what's going on in this life, because this life is now changed. Yours has changed, and you admit that totally. But I think in the fact that we end up praying for our wives, praying for our children, that is so, so important, especially now, because you could end up doing something that would actually draw them further away from knowing Jesus rather than drawing them toward him.
Right. And so that places a great amount of responsibility
yep.
on the man to be a true representative of Christ. You know, so we need to put off you know, all those things that hinder us and the sin that binds us, so that we can live that life unhindered, displaying Christ. Because now, Raul, the believing husband is in a very unique situation to be that instrument of Jesus mm-hmm. to his wife,
mm-hmm.
where the ultimate goal is that she would come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It may be that you are placed in that marriage relationship, even as an unbeliever, God knew what was going to happen. You were placed in that marriage relationship knowing that you would come to Christ and that you would be the instrument of your wife's salvation.
Right.
We don't know that that's going to happen, but we just need to continue to act in faith and obedience to what Jesus has called us to do.
You know, so often it is about going back to when you had mentioned about being meek, and we were talking about men being humble and stuff. That's very challenging for us. When we see ourselves as and feel as new creations, doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're given a sword and a helmet and all these things to be able to go out and battle for your family. It's about being submissive to God.
Yeah.
And allowing him to be able to guide us into whatever it is that we are to do and how to do it and when to do it, and more importantly, what to say, okay? And in submitting to God, that's one of, I think, one of the largest, most important factors in our relationship with Christ, not just as a start of a relationship, but throughout the whole thing, is totally submitting to Him and surrendering to Him ourselves and admitting that to our spouse who is unbelieving. And sometimes when we can share our own weaknesses that you've never shared with them before, and all of a sudden they hear you saying, you know what? I just got to tell you, I became aware of just how I've treated you and the kids, you know, by doing this and doing that, whatever it is. When you start revealing your own weaknesses, your own weaknesses, it's received differently than you saying that you ought to do what I'm doing because this is what I want you to do. Yeah. No.
It makes you a real person.
Yes. When you can actually start to share your heart. And even to the point where maybe in the experience that you had, you can't even explain it. I can't tell you what. I was there and I was listening. This guy was talking about Jesus who loves me, created me, and that he just wants me to come to him, that he'd make everything right in my life. And I started thinking about you and the kids and maybe how I've treated you and the way that it's been. And I've been trying to do it in a way that's not working. Man, I tell you what, when we start revealing our own sins with each other, there's a sense of meekness that takes place there, a humility that we can't draw up ourselves. And in humility, that's when you get someone's attention. Let me ask you, how many times have you actually been to a Sunday service and you listen to a pastor who just reads right out of the scripture, just shoots it straight, this is what you ought to be doing, boom, 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 right? Sometimes it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But if you hear him start to say from his own experiences, man, this is where I faltered. This is how this scripture applied in my life. And this is what I did. Now he's got your attention. Now you're listening, saying, wow, how can this guy be talking in authority about his weaknesses and stuff? But really what it comes down to, he's talking about Jesus, using him. Now, it's done the same way when we speak with our friends and our family. In this case here, we're talking about our wives who are unbelievers. When we start revealing that with them, now, they may be sarcastic because they don't know how to handle it. They're saying, well, it's about time you start to see yourself the way that I see you, as weak, and that you've been wrong. You have to expect that type of thing. But you know what? Here's the deal. I believe in submitting to God that he protects our hearts. He allows us to become unoffendable, in a sense, in this situation like this, because he wants to be glorified. He's won over your heart, and eventually in time, I believe that your wife would be won over also, and your children will also.
Yeah, we have to remember that any sort of attacks that may come are truly their attacks on our Lord Jesus and not on you because you believe in him. Right? It's, you know, blessed are you when people cast insults at you on account of me, Jesus says. You know, and so when the insults are cast, it's cast out because of Jesus himself.
Yes.
And you're right, we can come to expect that. When you were talking, it made me think about how there might be a temptation to say, well, these are the new rules we're going to be following because I'm following Christ.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a wet paint sign that says, do not touch wet paint?
No.
You probably have. Okay. I'll tell you what, my temptation is always to go up and touch it to see if it's actually wet.
Yes, yes. Everyone else does too.
Yeah.
Because it's our curiosity. Just want to know whether that's telling me the truth or not. So you're going to get pushed on. You're going to get touched.
But that's where the example of our weaknesses it comes into play as compared to setting up a set of rules.
So often, the Bible comes up with the answer. You read it yourselves. I don't have time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Okay? That's what you will find out about what we're talking about now and how to love and pray for your wife. How about praying for our brothers throughout the right now?
All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to the men today. God, I ask that you would bless them, Father, and that you would use them as instruments for your grace in their families. In Jesus' name.